This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Hey listeners, before we dive into this episode, we would like to preface that at point of recording, Frasley was using they-them pronouns and identified as non-binary. However, Frasley has now come to the conclusion that she is indeed, after all, a proud trans woman and her pronouns going forward are she/her. This is just further proof how wonderfully fluid and ever-changing identity can be. Thanks for tuning in and we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of having a marginalized gender in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Amanda, and with me today is my wonderful, hilarious, awesome, and avocado-wearing co-host, Monica. Hey, Monica.
Hey, Amanda. Avocado-wearing co-host, that's it. We will just not talk about the fact that it's a pajama because I'm work from home and pajama shirts are absolutely 100% legit and fine.
Yeah.
So it's just, me and my avocado shirt right there. But it's not just me and my avocado shirt right there because we have some wonderful humans on today.
We do. And just before we introduce them, I would like to say that Tom called you Monocado, and that's fantastic.
I just politely ignored that because we don't interact with chat when we...
But how could I not? Monocado? Yeah. Like, that needs to be immortalized forever.
It does. It does.
You will ever be Monocado to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Into the deeps of time.
Yes.
I don't know if I should be excited now or not, but I will take it as a compliment.
That is a compliment. Avocados are clearly the best.
They are the best fruit.
Yes.
Is it the fruit?
So, they have a seed. Cool. They're fruit. That's
okay.
Yeah. So as you can hear, we have two wonderful guests on. We have the wonderful Frasley, who you know from many past episodes, and the wonderful Sash, who this is their first episode. And together they are the hosts of Translucidity Podcast. So hi, friends. Welcome to Geek Herring.
Hello. Good to be here with you. And what's amazing is the timing of this. It's the Trans Awareness Week. I had no idea it was that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would like to take credit and say we're super smart like that, but we're
not. Yeah, this was just like...
Say you did it on purpose.
Coincidence.
We're not liars and we don't fish for compliments or something like that. So we were like, oh, this is this week. Actually, I thought it was last week. So I was like, no, it's last week. But Amanda said,
usually
no,
it's the second week. So it should have been last week, but it wasn't.
It's the 7 days preceding 20th of November. So it's always the 13th to 19th of November, no matter what days of the week those fall on.
But why can Wikipedia then not just simply say it's then and not the second week of November? That's too confusing.
I know.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was just always the second week of November.
Yep.
Well,
that's also what Wiki says, so it's you weren't wrong there.
It's true. There was a lot of confusion yesterday with me and Monica, but I went to the source. I went to the GLAAD website, and they were like, no. 13th and 19th. And I was like, okay, glad and Instagram and Twitter can't all be wrong. It must be right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can. Google even gives you the wrong time zone. So if you can't trust Google, then who can you trust? No
exactly.
One, nobody, and no tech.
Not a soul.
But there we go.
There we go.
I'm just picturing the meme now on this podcast that the various sources have disputed this claim. Have you seen that on Twitter? I'm glad that.
Oh God, yes. Anytime Trump tweets,
I know.
This isn't true, really.
This is not actually true. This is not actually true. This is actually absolute bullshit. But we can't really block him yet because he's the fucking president for a while still. So we have to keep his crap on here. Sorry, I just went on a tangent right now.
I think the funniest one though was Ben today put out a tweet saying I'm the safest pilot ever. And then said underneath, various sources have disputed this claim.
Oh, I saw that. I laughed. Not,
we don't talk about Ben's flying skills.
Okay.
No. Okay.
they're not existent.
All his skills fly under the radar, right?
Oh, God, Bradley. Okay.
On that note, we're going to move into our rapid fire round because I'm stopping that before we get started.
Yeah, Frasley, thank you very much. Fun all day.
Yeah. Okay, so Frasley, you are up first. Who are you?
So I'm Frasley. I'm a non-binary. I'm Era Ace, and I'm about 30 years old. And I do a lot of gaming podcasts. I do a lot of Twitch streaming. Basically, I just love having fun and looking pretty.
Yes, I love that. Have fun, look pretty. I love it.
Yes.
Yes. Life goals. Frasley, where are you from?
I am from Dublin, Ohio.
And what are your pronouns?
They, them.
Thanks. And when are you a geek since? So think like a year and maybe a story of your first geeky experience.
It would have to be ever since I sat on the couch watching my sisters play the original Super Mario Brothers. In fact, I've been playing it now recently. But yeah, so it would be 1996 or 7, I would say.
Oh,
love that.
Adorable.
And what are your biggest geeky influences? So you can think like books, movies, TV shows, teachers, games, or maybe something else.
One of the ones, and I hate saying it because of the turf who wrote it, but it would have to be Harry Potter. It would be one of my biggest influences. It was my first novel, got me into the science fiction world and stuff like that. And I loved exploring this world and being able to see topics. So it got me into other novels as well. So I branched out of that into other areas.
And we leave that behind where it belongs.
Yes.
Yes. And your current geeky pastimes?
Right now it is definitely streaming and right now it is Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Frasley finally got a Switch this weekend.
Yes. Thanks to Monica and Dennis.
Well, you did a lot on your own there as well. That was just tiny little push or something, but
yeah,
I'm glad you have one now.
It was the push I needed.
See, sometimes we all need a bit of a push.
So yeah. Does that mean that Monocado is a pusher?
Are we in pun territory now?
Yeah.
I mean, ever left pun territory, to be honest?
I don't think with Frasley you can ever leave pun territory, to be honest.
Nope. And
I sometimes try to move away from pun territory, but people always still drag me back into it. And that's just where I'm at now.
Yeah,
I am face palming and Animal Crossing and all the things like the
dad jokes.
Yes, I'm just like face palming. I love them, but I'm also like, no.
You God, cannot no. complain about any jokes in this game. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah. Like, yes,
you just be real quiet there, and you have to read the C+ joke another 300 times, and then maybe we can talk about it being a bit annoying.
Exactly. it's like a game that was made for Frasley.
Exactly.
Yeah. And very, then Frasley, once true. You've experienced all these puns like over and over and over again, maybe you will have some idea of what it's like to be your friend.
Wow. Burn. I mean, to be fair, Amanda is Tom's fiance, and so she's basically in the middle of the fight, of the pun fight that Frasley and Tom have all the time.
It's true. Frasley's puns, Tom's puns, and I'm like, I just need to accept this is my life. My life is puns.
This is your life.
And your dad is a wordsmith. I still remember Corona is like having sex in a canoe.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Corona beer is like having sex in a canoe because it's fucking near water.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Although honestly, Coors is so much worse. It's literally rabbit piss.
The fun literally. Thing is, I agree, but also that's my dad's current beer of choice. And I'm like, really? Where's that? Coors? What's wrong with you? Are you okay?
Hey, some people have some Coors values.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Okay, so can we move on?
We are moving forward here. Sash, hello. Who are you?
Hi. Well, let's see. I am a transmasculine kind of older geek, as you can see from the gray hair. That's me.
Nice. Yep. Nice to meet you. This is the first time we've actually been on a call together, so I'm very excited to meet you face to face here. Sash, where are you from?
I'm originally from New England in the US, but I currently live in Washington, D.C.
Ooh, fancy. Nice.
And what are your pronouns? Am I lucky?
Yeah, super lucky, yeah. What are your pronouns?
I use both he and him and they and them. It's, you know, whatever. There are days that I'm less masculine than other days. Today is one of those days, as you can see from the lovely lipstick that I'm wearing.
And I love it.
Good. Thank you. And what are you a geek since?
Oh, Lord. So I would say about 1975. Nice. I discovered math, and that was fun. And then I discovered languages. And I was a language geek for years and years and years. And so that would probably be it.
Yeah. I just need to like pause for a second and just reflect on the fact that you said, I discovered math and that was fun. Because I have no idea what that feels like.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I do, at some point I may go into this, but because I was raised as a female, my math skills were blunted, shall we say. And it wasn't until I would say somewhere in the 80s that I rediscovered math and realized what I'd missed by not going on to higher math. Mm. I read a book called Gittlesh or Bach by, what's his name? Douglas Hofstadter, a mathematician, and came to understand how music, language, and mathematics are all intertwined, and just like had a huge revelation. But I had already left school and couldn't really pursue anything more. So it was very sad for me.
I always loved math too. Math was great. Even once to study, then it wasn't that great anymore.
I miss it. I really miss math. Yeah. I miss quadratic equations of all things.
You need to listen to one of our previous episodes where we had Kate Wiswell, and she actually wrote a book because she's also like, she loves math and how that basically also affected her life choices as a writer and things like that. And she makes a lot of references to a lot of very mathematic things where Amanda was like, what the fuck is she talking about? And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Like, I just want to point out here that I was actually very good at math up until I tried to learn statistics, and then it just destroyed any skill, for lack of a better word. But I never enjoyed math, and I never thought it was fun, but I was very good at it. So just putting that out there. Anyways, back to you, Sash. What are your biggest geeky influences?
I would have to say Tolkien. Mm. My mom actually read The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit to us when I was about 5. And I kind of forgot it until sometime in high school. But then I rediscovered it right as I was discovering I was really good at languages. And I just went nuts. I would say it's influenced everything in my life ever since, including my love of WoW. So
that makes total sense.
I can definitely see that, because there's so many things that, and it's amazing, just like the what Tolkien did.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't understand how well researched that was. And I'm pretty convinced I'm an elf, so
I can see that.
I could totally see that. Also, we need to move on because we don't need another Monica and Tolkien rant.
Okay. I will not do that.
Wait,
because...
Wait. I gotta know.
Oh, well, dear.
I had a whole episode. Like, I really wanted to like the books, and I really liked the first book, but I wasn't very much into the second one because he was so in depth with his explanation. And I will not repeat what I did.
See, that's what I love.
Yeah, it makes like, I can see that, and a lot of people love that, but I don't really need to know how the squirrel fart smelled and why it smelled like that, and when what the squirrel had ate 3 days before, just so that it smelled a bit like a I don't know, fruity little hazelnut or something. You know, that's kind of what I got from the entire walking to go things. I said I was not going to go on that rant, but then we ended up with the
Tom says
anyway.
That he'll send you the clip, Sash, because he did clip this part of one of whatever episode this was in, and we'll just move forward here now, unless anybody else has anything to diss about Tolkien, because I am
fan. It's kind of why I call George R. R. Martin's work the Game of Drones.
Yeah, you know, and... See, I hate Martin because I just see him as like so derivative. It's like he basically took Tolkien and said, oh, I guess I'll just rewrite this as if it were, you know, filled with sex and blood.
And in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
True.
Because that's, I mean, and he admits that Tolkien was his influence. And it's like, screw you, Martin. I hated the show. I won't read the books. So
yeah, books, no, and it's not that Tolkien is not created. Like you can totally see that what he created in his head, and because otherwise he wouldn't be able to write so in depth about it. And some people really like it, and for me it was just too in depth because I wanted to know what was happening.
Yeah,
and they were walking for so fucking long.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, if you're looking for adventure, you won't like Tolkien. If you're looking for research and languages and you know, basically his entire proposition was desiring to create a myth for England, you know, if you're into that, then
I mean, I would have probably learned a few more vocabulary words, a few more words, let's say vocabulary words. See, that wouldn't happen if I would have read Tolkien, I suppose. Anyway.
Anyways, Sash, finally, what are your current geeky pastimes? I'm just moving past here.
I've been gaming. The game that I like to play the most is World of Warcraft. I do play a few other games as well, but that's the big one. And then on top of it, right now I'm building a Linux lab so that I can do a lot of like penetration testing. I'm finally going to learn Python for real, which I haven't done before. So that's my, when I'm not gaming, that's what I'm doing.
Amanda's look on her face is great right now. I'm excited.
Well, I'm in cybersecurity, so I'm trying to build up some skills.
Nice. Yeah. Cool.
I'm unemployed right now and it's like, I'd like to be employed again. So
yeah,
looking to build up my skills.
But nice. That sounds great.
I actually am. There's a podcast called Dark Knight Diaries that I love listening to about like penetration testing and cybersecurity. A lot of it goes over my head, but it is so like fascinating. Just hearing all the things like they had one about the Olympics.
And here I am, like, ooh, penetration sounds sexy.
I know. I was like, penetration.
You wonder how many people go into that as a major and they're like, oh,
this isn't what I signed up for. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Be all about
I always bring the tone down. Well, no, not always. Most of the time it's
fine. I mean, our tone is generally really low. So it's not really that we're doing anything different than usual here.
See, I'm thinking about old gods and demons and tentacles and all that right now. So there we go.
Tentacles. I'm not sure if I want to know the tentacle thing. But no. Okay. Let's move on.
Tentacles.
Wow.
My voice effect thing here. I could be in the south right now, but I can't. Oh.
Oh, that's okay. Monica would be like, who? Anyways, what? We have asked these two wonderful people on to talk about gender identity and geek culture and how shifting, changing identities, becoming the identity you've always been inside has affected geek culture. I don't know. All of these things. Let's talk about it. Hi.
Hi. Hey.
Wow.
Was like, I'm talking too much. I'll just stop now.
I will open up and say that like I used to be a what I thought was a straight male. And I was that until about June and July when I've had like over the years inklings that I wasn't, and that I kept thinking in my head like things that like don't seem right, or I was in a mask. And then this past July I finally had the courage to come forward and say no, that I'm not, that, and that I am definitely Arrow Ace, and I'm definitely non-binary. And I have to say the internet was an amazing resource that so many people have gone forward already, shared their experiences, shared what they've gone through, and have kind of like said, like, here's all the resources on, here are the different types of gender out there. And there's so many resources out there if you read into it. And I think geeky spaces, gender's really been explored in a lot of sci-fi. I mean, I've been like watching like Star Trek, and like Spock is definitely one of the ones that is that people believe is Ace.
Can see that.
I mean, I don't know. I never felt that way about Spock because back in season 2 of the original series, they kind of explained why Spock is the way he is.
Okay.
And that he can very much be a sexual being if he wants to. And then in the movies, he has an affair with Uhura.
Asexuality not necessarily mean that you don't there is zero sexual anything. So it isn't asexual.
Well, true.
Just like not experiencing sexual desire to people but then still getting sexual pleasure in a way.
Yeah. That's more about the attraction. And Spock is one that during one of the ones he had to go back to his planet for a mate. I know there was an episode, season one or two, and he had to go back there, but he was only going there because it was what he was required to do, but he kind of didn't feel attraction to it. And yeah, that is definitely what asexuality is. It's more about the attraction, but you can still be sexual and all that. And all this stuff kind of opened me up into the different worlds of gender identity and kind of being like, we are taught so much in that binary as we grow up, where we're taught men and women operate the same way. And I have to think my mom has actually been a good influence in my life, that she became a CPA when women were not becoming CPAs. And that, she showed me that women can do anything that men can do, and that there's no difference in the sexes and stuff like that. It's been painful for her as I become non-binary. I think she's been an influence on me on that, and that once I realized that I can be who I am, and that my gender may be different than my sex, it opened up a lot for me to process.
Oh yeah, and I wasn't trying to invalidate what you were saying about Spock. I was just more like, oh wow, I never saw it that way but of course when I was growing up, which is when Star Trek was actually current. The original series. I'm so old. It's like nobody knew about asexuality really. Yeah. Nobody really knew about, different gender identities. I mean, even like transgender people were, they were anomalies, they were monsters, they were, aberrations. So I have to say that identifying as a woman and yet working in a field that is almost 100% dominated by men. I mean, there are almost, it's not that there are no women in cybersecurity, but there's so few. And even the ones that are tend to be less technical. They tend to be like more of the sales and marketing side than the heavily geeky side. And identifying as a woman and yet somehow knowing that there was something missing made me so angry that I was known as a person who had a chip on their shoulder and was very angry and very militant. And while I still very much consider myself a feminist, the fact that I no longer have to identify as a woman has been such a relief to me because I always knew that there was something wrong there. And yet at the same time, I would never have wanted to say, but a woman can't do what I'm doing. So I almost didn't want to come out. It was one of the huge things that when I realized that I was not a woman, almost kept me from coming out at the last minute, because I said, am I betraying feminism by no longer identifying as a woman? And I spent like a long time discussing this with my husband and with a couple of other people saying, am I betraying women by coming out as transmasculine? And I finally determined that I could still fight for women's rights and fight for women in my field without having to be one. So
I think it's even more important that men and trans men and trans women, it's not a fight that only women fight. Like women, like the same as transgender folks, can't fight the fight on their own as well. So it needs to be a common thing where allies step up for you as well and step up for women as well and talk on behalf of, not talk over, but talk with women, talk with transgender people and not, again, not overpower them in what they have to say, but just have this shared goal, which is equality really for everyone, and not just for certain people, and not just for certain folks, and not just for white women, and not just for trans men, and not just for trans women. It's what we all have to do in common, and I think that is what feminism is, even if it's not, even if it sounds something that is only has to do with females. Maybe we need a better word for that, and maybe there is one. I suppose there is one, but that's what feminism for me is all about, is that it's not that you ever betrayed
right
anyone by becoming your true self. You just are more you now, and that means you're even stronger in what you believe in. You're stronger in your convictions, you and your voice is stronger because you are more grounded in what you can say, because you are more you like that now.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a lot more confidence.
Yeah.
So that I can promote women. I would love to see especially more Black women in cybersecurity. Yeah. It is so hard for a Black woman to get into that field.
Mm.
It's like, as I say, like there's almost no women in it in the first place. But if you're a Black woman and you try to get into cybersecurity, dear God, nobody takes you seriously.
And this is, isn't this the fucking worst, that Black women are the ones who always have fought every fight for every minority. Yes. And yeah. They are standing like in the front lines, and they're like fighting the fight. The black trans women, they yes. are fighting for the rights of everyone that comes behind them, basically. Or, and then suddenly everybody overtakes them, and they are the last ones who see any benefit from what they have been fighting for.
Exactly. I'll tell you, if I could just sponsor one Black trans woman in this field, I would be so ecstatic.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
it's actually given me the idea, just this discussion right here, yeah. has given me the idea that as soon as I have any wherewithal myself, because right now I'm living on my savings, but if I can promote, you know, basically mentor a Black trans woman in this field, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I echo the same stuff. Like, I actually was not as vocal about the rights of Black Lives Matter and the LGBT until I came out, and now I want equality. Like, I definitely being somebody who's in the non-binary, and I don't know if I'm becoming a trans woman. I don't know where my journey is right now, but I mean, I'm different, dressing more feminine, and there's been talk about like, are you erasing women? And I'm like, no, I want the rights for everybody. And if anything, it's making me become more vocal for the rights of everybody, that everybody should be equal. Everybody should live who they are, regardless of their race, of their gender, of all that everyone should be equal. And we need to get rid of this shit that has made people be in such a, there are people in power who got in that power, and they don't want anybody else coming up to where they are.
Yeah. I'm so tired of old white men leading everything.
Me too.
I'll tell you, even in this latest, in the States, in this latest presidential race, you know, people are like Bernie. And I was like, but he's an old white man.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we find a woman who's, you know, got just as much, and maybe not an old white woman either. I mean, I wasn't nuts about Warren either, simply because she was an old white woman and she had misused her supposed Indian ancestry, which apparently she doesn't even have. I have more Indian blood in me than Elizabeth Warren does, and I am the whitest thing ever. So, but I actually, because of my Canadian French background, I actually have some Native American people in my ancestry. And it's like, good Lord, but I would never have tried to claim that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just really pissed me off about Warren. It really tainted her for me. And I was like, why can't we have, but then whenever I would say Kamala, people would be like, no, she's a cop. And I'm like, guys, you're never going to find the perfect Black woman. Could we please, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that she's going to be the vice president of the U.S. because I'm not trying to be state-centric here, I know. but it was
affecting everyone. Like, the entire election is affecting everyone. There was like a whole week CNN was running on my TV because I just needed to know. We needed this bit of hope in 2020 that the cheeto-in-chief and the biggest misogynist and racist,
yeah,
would not yes. be in office anymore. Because
oh God. Yeah.
After 4 years, that's what America has come to, like almost a civil war, Black Lives Matter movement. All the thing has happened. Corona has happened. All the people are dying and people are still voting for him, right? So it's just you wanted this to be over. And the thing is, you are not waiting for your soulmate when you vote for your president or for a person in political power. You need to find someone that has somewhat of your views, but it can't be 100% your views, because the person has to work for everyone in the country. And there are right. like 145 whatever million people in this country, or even more, I don't know. And it can't work like that. It can't, one person cannot tick every fucking box that you have for you to be able to vote for them. But you need to find someone that you can put on a path where you'd be like, I don't fear for my life if this person is out there. And I think that's a good, that's something that's super essential was in that entire election situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that people are going to keep Biden honest. I think that all the people who marched, you know, all the trans people, all the feminists, all the Black people, they're all going to keep Biden honest, where honestly, he might not be inclined to, you know, fight for our rights, but I think they're going to make him.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, it's the reason why I voted for him, because I knew Trump was not going to be standing for the rights of women, would not be standing for the rights of Black people across the country, would not be standing for the rights of trans, and I knew that Biden at least has put it on his platform, and I said we are going to make sure Biden sticks to those. I mean, I'm not in that like we're going to be Biden. You promised us this. Will you deliver?
Politicians never 100% deliver on their shit, but no. Even if they deliver like parts of their shit, that's already great. And especially if they don't endanger more people by just simply being in office. Right now, that's like you wished back on other Republican presidents that you had before, where you like previously like these were all fucking assholes, but now can we please have one of those back so we just don't have to have that person in place anymore? And so that's just really, because it got really dangerous for women, for trans people, for the LGBTQ rainbow, like everyone. It was just fucking terrifying, and Black folks and everyone. So that's just, it was a matter of life and death for me personally, and I'm not even living there.
Oh yeah. So, I've got friends who can finally marry after 2015, and the fact that with the, that was in jeopardy, and it still is kind of technically in jeopardy because of the Supreme Court and the stuff like that. Is like, can we just finally get past these fundamental rights, keeping the focus on the other laws that we need to work on, but keep these fundamental rights in place and improve these fundamental rights as well. I mean, that we have work to do, but don't revisit these things that we've all agreed are fundamental human rights.
Yeah. Breach.
I'm just listening, I'm agreeing with everything that's being said right now.
And I think as a geek, it is definitely important to explore your identity. Again, like I said, Bubbles, I've always loved Powerpuff Girls, and I think that they were an amazing role model. Last October of 19, I put on a dress, and I was like, I like this dress. And I'm like, why am I wearing outfits and stuff that I don't like, just so I can be a man since I was six have questioned being a man and stuff like that. And I think it's being a geek has given me the confidence to explore these things. You had a guest on, I'm trying to remember their name from a episodes back, but they were talking about gender identity and like how they've been exploring it inside of the world of the Renaissance or classical reenactment.
Jamie?
Jamie, yes. Yeah. And Jamie's story spoke to me so much. It was like, that's me. I feel Jamie's story. And it's like, I felt trapped on who I am. That if you want to be, if you are a man, it's fine. You don't, my journey is not your journey, but I never felt that I was living in my proper body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing. I am the only person in my immediate family who's short and round. Everybody else was tall and slender. And so I used to, when I was younger, I used to imagine that I was this tall, slender, but long-haired male elf, you know, and that was my identity. And when I started, not when I started playing WoW, because I play mostly female characters in WoW, I just like them better, but male blood elves.
They're so pretty.
I was just like, they are. They're so pretty.
Yes.
And they're the ones with the nice hairstyles, or at least they were up until recently. And so just before I came out as trans, I started role playing in WoW for the first time, and I started playing male blood elves. And it was just, that is what gave me the freedom eventually to say, this is my identity. This is what I actually am. Not, okay, I know, you know, being an elf is sort of like, okay.
Yeah.
But I am this male personality that I've been role-playing for, you know, the last several months. And it gave me the strength to come out and to say, this is what I really am. This is what I've been all this time. And there were actually people who didn't have an issue, like, because I was such a feminine woman. When I identified as a woman, I was very hyper feminine, you know, sort of almost as a shield, you know, that was my, you know, I always wore lots of makeup. I always wore dresses, la, la, la. And, you know, I said, I know that there are people who are going to have a lot of problems with this. And there were some older friends who had known me for like 30 or so years who looked back at my past and said, no, I remember that you came across sometimes as that tall, willowy male, even despite your short, round body. You know, you came across as that tall, willowy male. And I believed that of you. And I see that now. And that's, you are finally admitting to what you have been all this time. And I was like, wow, you know, these are people who I didn't realize would remember that about me and would be able to relate it to what I was saying about myself now. Because I do know that there are a lot of people who have known me for a shorter amount of time, you know, like ex-boyfriends and stuff like that, who stopped talking to me completely. It's not that they hate me. They didn't, you know, they didn't try to talk me out of it or anything. They just stopped because they couldn't see that. And they weren't going to insult me, which was nice, but at the same time, they couldn't see it because they only saw me as that very feminine woman.
But that's their problem, that they don't see that the things that you put on as a protection of yourself, and to reiterate that you are that woman that everybody thinks you are, which is like helped you with the makeup and the dresses, is just putting on this mask again of, look at me, I am really that woman that you all think I am. And because I have all of these things, that's what you see. And that's just basically doing the gender for everybody else to see, so that you are also
so you're protecting
yourself from the questions that you have inside of them, and people who know you longer and who know you well, and some who might be more prone to noticing small, because not everybody is, I mean, we can be honest, not everybody is super sensible to when it comes to other people and what they feel like or what they do and how they react, and when there is something off about them, not everybody sees that, and that's okay. But that's their problem, that they didn't see that you were this strong willowy, like language, but the male person that you always knew that you are inside. And again, that's on them, that they couldn't see that at the time.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't miss any of the people who I've lost, if you will, because to me, it's like they never validated what I was at the time, clearly, you know, never mind the identity that I have finally grown into, if you will.
And I think it's important to kind of say bye to those who don't want to see you as you are. Like I've lost family and friends over what I'm doing. And it's like, if you didn't see me for who I was, we were at watching some pictures of my niece, and one picture was, we were at a museum, and I put on a dress, and I was like, I forgot how much I loved wearing even that dress at the museum. I mean, again, not saying that women have to wear dresses. That's not what I'm saying, but it's what fits with like my style, and I've got the freedom as not the non-binary to be able to dress how I want to live. Like right now, I'm wearing a floral dress, and I love it. It feels natural to me. It feels like this is what I've always wanted to wear.
But even as a man, you could just wear dresses if you want. We have like Harry Styles, who is now rocking all these dresses, and people say he's not hot, not male enough because he's doing that. Yeah, look at Sash; he's also wearing an amazing dress. So it's not the clothes that define what kind of gender you should be. So whatever is fits you, and whatever is it that you feel extrapolates what you are, is what you wear.
Yeah.
Because like Freddie Mercury, I don't think he ever identified as anything else. He was bi, but I don't think he ever identified as any other gender. But he was flamboyant. And I remember watching his outfits like, I love those outfits, Freddie.
Yeah. I actually have to say that talking with Frazzly and doing the podcast we've had, there was a point when, you know, I had come out and I had legally changed my name and everything. And I had to start a new job. Last year, and I was working for the federal government here in Washington, and I had to be binary because I couldn't say, oh yeah, I'm actually non-binary, but you know, use these pronouns and blah, 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 because it would have upset our client who was the federal government. So I had to just, even though I didn't look all that male, to a lot of people, I guess. It's hard for me to know what I look like. I think I just look androgynous. But you know, most people were just assuming I was a woman, probably because of my height and stuff. And I had to just basically double down on being male. And it was hurting my spirit. You know, it was really hurting my soul. And, you know, now that I'm unemployed again, I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, am I going to... You know, I'm looking for all sorts of jobs. If I have to work for the federal government again, I will. But I'm like, how much is that going to hurt my spirit to have to pretend to be something that I'm really not, which is 100% male, because I'm like maybe 5/6 male, if you will. You know, it's like, you know, I have now the legal name of a male, and, you know, and I use mostly male pronouns, but I would like to wear a dress to work. You know, I've been wearing a lot of very androgynous clothes, you know, kind of pajama like because I can, but you know, while I'm here at home, and it's like, I don't want to go back to wearing just, you know, button up shirts and pants.
Boring.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, I like them. I like male clothes. But at the same time, it's like, but what if I want to wear a dress? I still have a lot of dresses. You know, what if I want to wear a dress or just mix, you know, wear a button up shirt that's, you know, that's male styled, you know, wear male pants, but then wear a really cute jacket. You know, what if I want to wear makeup? You know, I just... How's this going to go?
And it's sad that you have to do that. Cause like I even have that fear of if I one day wear a regular shirt, is somebody going to think, oh, okay, Frazzly's not really non-binary Frazzly. And it's like, no, I wear dresses a lot cause I like it, but there'll be times, I mean, when I go to the next BlizzCon for comfort, I'm probably going to wear t-shirts, and I'm hoping to pack in another Geek Herring t-shirt. Cause that was fun. It's weird how clothing is so gendered, and like you read about like how boys were really wearing pink dresses a long time ago, and now and then when did we move to blue shirts and stuff like that?
Oh, we talked about this in a very early episode of Geek Herring.
I also have rants about this.
Yes, they're a common one. But do you both think that celebrities being more expressive with their clothing are making a positive influence in America? Like the likes of Jonathan Van Ness, who is non-binary, like Harry Styles, who I'm not actually sure if Harry is non-binary or if he's male, but regardless, Harry Styles is wearing dresses and looking fabulous while doing it. And people like Lil Nas, you know, there are celebrities
Sam Smith.
Sam Smith, yes. Like there's so many celebrities coming out as non-binary or just expressing themselves with clothing and showing that, like, you know, the clothes are for everyone. Like, just wear what you want to wear. Especially like, I think we can all agree that some dresses are stunning. So of course, why shouldn't everybody wear them?
Yeah.
If you want to wear it, wear it. But yeah, how is this? Sorry.
I saw a guy and he identifies as male, but he goes to work every single day in a skirt and heels. And even like, I think he might even do his nails. And he says he does it because he loves the look of it. And he wants to stand with people that are non-binary, that are trans, that are not conforming to the gender norms. And he looks stunning. So yeah, I think it helps to have representation out there, because then you're like, okay, if they're doing it, then I can do that too.
Yeah, I think it's important to see more and more people being willing to express themselves through clothing. You know, ever since coming out at work, I've never felt like I could be anything but binary male, that I had to, you know, my situation when I first came out at a job that I was eventually fired from, the only time I've been fired, I might add, in my entire career, was that I was insisting on using the men's room because I felt that fit the most with my gender identity. But I wasn't promising to look 100% male. I wasn't promising to dress. You know, I wasn't promising to not wear makeup. And they said, unless you look male, you can't use the men's room, and eventually fired me because I insisted. And which is illegal here in the States, and specifically in the county where I was working. So they paid me a lot of money to keep quiet about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can't mention the company's name, but it was a shitty situation, but I found that ever since then, I have to pick one, you know, and it makes me unhappy. I've interviewed at a few companies, that were unfortunately looking for someone who had a few skills that I didn't have, where I could have been myself, where I could have been non-binary. And that's the kind of thing that I really need. I feel to flourish. I'm so tired of hiding who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it for, you know, I've been in this career for 25 years plus, and I've hidden who I am for almost that entire time, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that more celebrities can make more of an impact on the idea of dressing how you want, looking how you want, and it not being a problem to the people around you.
Yeah. I hate to bring up religion because it's a very touchy subject, but even before this podcast, I was looking up a book in the library, and I got this article from the site saying, oh, can you believe it, they added in this book about LGBT and about being a different gender into the kids library section. And sometimes I wonder, our foundations of our culture are so based on one religion, and there's so many other religions out there, but they're based on one religion and one very strict interpretation of that religion. When I started wearing dresses, was like, you realize that if a man wears a woman's clothing, it's an abomination to the Lord, and how God made men and women. And except I'm not at all attacking people who have faith, because I have a faith that's very private to myself and all that. And I don't want to attack that part, but I do want to attack the trying to take people down because of a faith. And I think by that, that's one of the things that we're going to, that is a struggle in this country, especially because this country people still claim is just a Christian nation. And I think, no, we've been a nation of being able to live a religious independence. And I think, why don't we add something like gender independence, being able to live who you are? Cause if you're not hurting someone may not like how you look. Cause someone told me that was jarring when I first started wearing dresses. But if you're not hurting somebody, then why can't you be like that man who's wearing skirts and dresses to work? Why can't you be who you want to be? And why do I have to follow a strict interpretation of ancient texts?
Because patriarchy always made clothing political, and especially when it concerns female clothing. So that's just, and also in addition to the Christian talk, I do think that we need to be aware that there is a difference between a religious organization and faith.
Yeah.
Because religious organizations are the people that make this entire thing very, very difficult for everyone, because there is a lot of money involved, there's a lot of power involved. And again, patriarchy is riding its fucking high in the church, because they never had, like, especially in the Catholic Church, never really had loads of women in there. So it's all about power. It was always about knowledge. It's about power. And it's about And that's what they've kept doing for ages and ages and ages. And it's an interpretation of a very, very old book of very, very old writings from people that they claim to be or whoever they are. And if they, for them, and I do think if you try to focus on all of that written stuff and not focus on what the essence of faith should be, it should be something that will give you comfort when you have a bad time. It's something that should lift you up instead of put you down. It's something that should not put you in the in the constant situation of guilt, because your existence also in the church is something great and something glorious and not something that anyone needs to be ashamed of. And yeah. Everything else is just faff and just glittery shit that they put on 2,000 years ago that's not going with any times anymore and never has. And so that's the organization, but that's not the faith. And if people try to argument on some organization, then do that, but do that somewhere else where nobody can fucking see you, because that's not actually what anybody ever wants from faith in general. So yeah, that's my two cents about church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, no, I agree.
And I bring it up because it's many times since I've come out, I've had scriptures thrown back at me, and it's like there are great scriptures like I said, do unto others as you would like to have done unto you. I mean, that golden rule and having a faith or and a belief is, I think, finding out where's your moral compass for each person is important. But I've had so much of it thrown back at me, and it's like, I can't live because of who I am because of these writings. And someone's like, "Oh, you're talking to those intersectional feminists again." And I'm on that podcast with those intersectional feminists.
These writings are thousands of years old, and nobody would ever go ahead and read a book from when Hitler was around and think the history books of those times are accurate. So if you can't see it, what it is, it's like something that is placed somewhere in time historically that might have fit in that time, but that does not mean that everything that you read in the Bible can be taken and should be taken literally, because that's not what it has been aimed for. It's around for 2,000 whatever fucking years, and if you're not capable in your head to wrap yourself to wrap your head around the fact that this is might have been a guideline in a time where times were so different and that it doesn't fit in 2020 and that it's about being a good person to another person, that's the essence that is all about. And if some books tell you otherwise, then there is something wrong with the book. There's not something wrong with the person.
Yeah. And those scriptures were cherry picked too.
Yeah.
You have to realize that there were tons and tons, you know, let's just take the New Testament. The New Testament was so cherry picked. There were tons and tons of scriptures out there that were suppressed by the people who eventually decided what was going to make up the New Testament.
Sure.
And some of those scriptures very, very much clarified what it was that men and women could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And it was nothing like what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
I think the important thing to realize is that, you know, if you're going to stand there and say Jesus, 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 just as an example, then Jesus never said a word about homosexuality and never said a word about what gender roles were. And in fact, elevated a woman to a male gender role by making her one of his closest disciples. And that would be Mary Magdalene.
So
it's like, you know what? Screw y'all scripture toting Christians, because you are misinterpreting your own scriptures.
That's the benefit of having something that old and that weirdly mythical, that you can just interpret it however the fuck you think is right for you. But that's just, again, as you said, Jesus was the first one who'd take everybody in and not let anyone be on the outside of whatever. And those who were so self-righteous, those were the first ones he would have ever kicked off the curb.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, to take one of the things that he said, like whoever's going to be wants to be first will be the last, and go for the poor, go for the needy, go for those, and it's why his words are why I would still say I'm a Christian. I mean, and all that because of the doing good, but I don't follow all the other things that are out there, and it's why I'm always afraid to say because I don't want to be like those other Christians who are against homosexuality, because people should be able to marry who they want. People should be able to marry.
I was in I was in a relationship with a priest before. I mean, with the one that was allowed to be in one. So it's not that it was a big illegal thing. And they had in the church, they had homosexuality in the church. They had gay priests there and it was all great and fine and well. So it's just bullshit that that's not something that can happen.
And yeah. Yeah.
I talked a few weeks ago with a non-binary pastor and they gave me so much hope because I was like, okay, here's what I've been told. And and they're like, oh yeah, no, look at this. So I've been looking I'd say there that don't let one interpretation of faith constrict your idea of gender. Cause there's so many people that of that faith who think differently.
Mm. Yeah. No, exactly. That's one thing I'd like to see a whole lot less of is Christian judgment about stuff, because so much of it reeks of the patriarchy and of white supremacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it's all very tainted. My mom actually, who was a Catholic her whole life and a very devout one, recently told me that she no longer believes in 99% of what she was taught as a child. Nice. And I think some of it is bitterness against the church because it did some pretty nasty things to her and to my dad. But also I think she just realized that, you know, she doesn't need this anymore and she doesn't have to pretend because my dad is dead now. Mm. She doesn't have to pretend either. And she just kind of said, wow, I'm independent of all of this. And I'm not saying that everyone, you know, if they are devout or if they have a faith should throw it away. But to see my mom be able to grow out of, you know, needing to be dependent on something like this was really, and she's in her 80s. Okay. Yeah. You know, it was so cool to watch because, you know, I could sit there and go, you know, sometimes I feel too old. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh God, was I too old to come out? Was I too old for this? Was I too old for that? And my mom, you know, who is a good 26 years older than I am, is showing me that you're never too old.
Yeah.
So
you're never too old. It's always what you, and I come from the adult education sector, right? So I fundamentally believe that everybody can learn anything in every age when they want to.
Yes.
So it's that the matter is that if you want to and if you're open to to some learning, then that works. You can't force someone to learn something, but that never really works. But especially the older you get, the more you need people to actually want that as well. And everything is possible if you want to do it, even when you're old. It might take you longer. It might take you longer than when you were 20. It might take you longer than when you were 30, but it doesn't mean that you can't anymore.
I wish more younger people knew that because there's so many people who are like, oh, you're old, you know, throw you away. And it's hurtful. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, particularly because of the hormone replacement therapy that I'm on.
Yeah.
You know, I feel, you know, in some ways like a teenager almost, but definitely like, you know, a younger person. And, you know, I've never had the mindset of, you know, old lady or old man or whatever. Mm. And to have people, you know, a lot of younger people say, oh, you know, well, you've lived your life. And it's like, I'm just starting.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just starting to live my life finally. Yeah. So
that's also because society strives for young, pretty, and male or female, but also very specifically. So that's also part of the entire, of all the isms problems that we have in this world. Unfortunately, ageism is also one of them, which sucks a lot.
And trying to make sure that you know who you are. Again, I didn't know who I was till 30, and 30 is still young, but I didn't know who I was till 30. I'm still learning who I am.
Listen, there was this trans girl I knew, and she said at one point, and it made me sort of laugh, but very privately, and she said, I'm 26 and I'm only finding out who I am now. And I'm, you know, because I was like, honey, you know,
yeah.
But I could understand because so many of the people she knew were teenagers and realizing that they were trans or non-binary and, you know, able to perhaps not have to deal with puberty you know, if their parents were accepting and that kind of thing. So I could see how somebody even as young as 26 could go, oh God, I'm so old.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and of course, at the time I was just like, huh, you know nothing. But of course, that was ageism on my part too.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to be ageist. It was just more like there are times when I feel like people don't think I'm or my identity is valid because of how long, you know, I waited. And it certainly was a long time, but like,
but
I
that's
said,
also a matter of, that's not only a matter of when you grew up in and what times you grew up in, but also every journey is personal. Like you have to, if you are not in a circle of people who go through the same stuff as you, then you have to find shit out on your own.
Right.
And yeah, it's just finding anything out on your own is just fucking hard. And then we talk about identity and what you feel and who you feel you are inside, and you don't see any, again, representation around you whatsoever. And right, especially not when you grew up. Like there was, as you said, you, they were called abomination. That wasn't, that was maybe even illegal. So that's all shit that's going on in one's head, and it's terrifying. And you need to break out of that cycle as well to have the guts and be like, I'm going to do this because that's who I am. So that's a whole different story than the younger people who grow up now, who have like an easier way and an easier access to things like that. It's still not great. Nobody ever says that, but,
right, but it's still
comparably different to what you have gone through when in your life. And that doesn't make your journey any less valid just because you decide or you came out very late in your life.
Yeah, I sometimes, you know, I don't try, again, this isn't an ageist desire of mine, but I sometimes say, okay, but you have to realize I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, I mean, pre-Stonewall, anybody knowing what transgender or, you know, even in some cases, what being gay was, you know, and it's like, okay, so, you know, the fact that I ever came out, I ever realized what I was, is actually almost a miracle.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who might have been like me who, but they, you know, they're kind of in this baby boomer mindset.
Yeah.
And they might never,
of course,
you know, realize what they were. Because,
and we even have to start with how many people are probably in marriages they don't want to be in because of, and that's the, and then the next step of admitting to whatever gender they identify as, that's even like a bigger one. And that just,
oh yeah. I mean, I'm in my third marriage and it's a very happy one, but my first two marriages were not, and I could never have come out during them.
Yeah.
I mean, there would have been no way. They would have been over immediately if I had come out.
Thanks for sharing so much.
Okay, this
sorry.
Yeah, this conversation has been amazing. I'm going to ask you both a final question, and that's, what advice would you give to young people?
Wow. Believe in yourself. Try to be honest with yourself about who you are and what you want, and don't let anybody put you down and tell you you're not good enough.
And regardless of what it is, don't tell somebody that you can't do something just because it's how it is. Like when I was 4 to 6 and I went to my parents and said, hey, this is what I want, to fly to heaven and talk to God because I want to be a woman. And they say, oh, God made you a man, so you're that. Don't let others tell you to be that. And also be more open-minded than what your parents will believe. Don't just go by what they say, because I'm sure that they are very smart, but they also might be more closed-minded. I mean, I hope you have accepting parents, and I hope you have parents that are that will love you for who you are. But even if they don't, there are people that will love you for who you are. Check out the Trevor Project. They have resources for kids, for teens. They have a text line, a call line, talking about your feelings. Reach out to people, and any of us in online, reach out to anybody in the LGBT community. We will talk with you, and we'll be like, what are you going through? And there are resources online. Google the shit out of all that stuff, because what you're looking through has probably already been there. Someone will have shared their experience there.
Yeah, you are enough.
Yes.
Thank you. I love that.
Well, that was good advice, and it almost made me cry. So thank you.
I know, I'm a little teary.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you again, both of you, for being on Geek Caring today. This conversation was beautiful, and I appreciate you both sharing your stories and talking with us about all your experiences. Tell our listeners how we can find both of you individually and more information about your podcast.
Well, Stash, I will let Beauty go first. I'll let you go first.
Okay. I am at LOTHIE on Twitter. That's the word, Twitter, or Translucidity One. You can contact me either way. I forget what my Discord tag is. I think it's Lagolad 7272. And you can also contact me that way. Or find me in WoW, for gosh sake.
of course.
And you know, and I will be happy to talk to you.
And I'm Frazzly. You can find me on Twitter at Frazzlytastic. And I never realized how cutesy of a name that sounded when I remember it.
Darling.
And I'm on Twitch many times of the week, and I run an inclusive community. So if you just need someone to talk with, or like somebody to put on, so you feel loved, I'm always there at twitch.tv/frazzlys. And then I'm with Sash on Translucidity. And the final one is I run one of many podcasts, and you can find it at gnomepodcast.com, where we talk with people around the world of Azeroth and beyond. And like, we just had a non-binary person on our most recent episode. So that one was nice. Beyond the binary.
Yeah. I need to listen to that still. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll make sure that all of that information is in our show notes for handy clicking and following.
Yay.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here and being so open with us.
I wish I had been a platform like this when I was growing up, and I wish I had a podcast I could listen to like this, because this podcast has really changed my perspectives, because
we're evil so like that. Yes.
and you've prepped me too.
So thanks so much for listening, and see you again next week for another amazing episode of Geek Hearing. Nobody said bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.